Many have been all over the place, and it is wonderful that you had that opportunity to do that, but to be back here. It is always good that our family is here together. If you're visiting with us, we love that you've chosen to be here, and we are wonderfully excited that you're here. I know that there are a number of guests with us this morning, and some just from out of town, but we want you to know that we love and enjoy you being here with us as we worship our God together. If you want to open up to our text, it's going to be 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. We're going to begin a series of lessons over the next few weeks about famous quotes. There are a lot of things that we see, a lot of things that we hear, and I want to share some of those things that have impacted me in my life or things that are impacting me in my life as I read and I think about those things. Every Sunday that we come together, we hear this quote or we see it. You can look at it right now from wherever you're sitting on the front of this little table down here on the floor in front of me. Actually, ours says, "This do in remembrance of me." Mine says, translation says, "Do this in remembrance of me." But whichever way, "this do" or "do this in remembrance of me" is one of the most important phrases that we will ever know. One of the most important quotes that we'll ever quote in our life. One of the greatest privileges as Christians that we'll ever have in all of our life. "Do this in remembrance of me." Paul is talking in 1 Corinthians 11 as he's quoting these things, these words that we quote. Come from this passage. But he's looking back over those times in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14 and Luke chapter 22 when the Lord was instituting this, what we call the Lord's Supper. And he was with his disciples and he broke the bread and he drank the cup and he blessed those things and he talked about what it meant. And Paul, sometime later here in 1 Corinthians 11, begins explaining to the church at Corinth and to all of us from then on about what this Lord's Supper, this "do this in remembrance of me," what it really means. Why do we do this every first day of the week? What significance does it have in our life? So let's just look at it together. Now, back in the passage it was read just a few moments ago, in 1 Corinthians 11 there, beginning in 17 down through 22, Paul is really trying to grasp their attention. Now, he says some things that don't sound real nice, and it's not real flowery. But he says in verse 17, giving this instruction, "I do not praise you because you come together, not for the better, but for the worse." He said, y'all are getting together as a church, and it's not about focusing on making each other better or blessing the church, but it's a distraction. The things that you're doing are taking away from the whole reason why you're gathering together. And he'll say in verse 20, "Therefore, when you meet together, it's not for the Lord's Supper." Here's the whole point. They're doing some things they don't understand. "Do this in remembrance of me." They've completely misunderstood what they're getting together for. And on the first day of the week, we know that the reason the church gathers together is to gather around this table. That's the reason we meet. We study every day of the week, or we're supposed to. We pray every day of the week, or we're supposed to. We're supposed to do those things 7 days a week. But one day a week, we gather around a table. Why the church comes together is to gather around this table to do this in remembrance of me. So, let's look at this together. Verses 23 through 25 of 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup out," excuse me, "also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Do this in remembrance of me. He broke the bread and he said, do this in remembrance of me. He blessed the cup and he said, as long as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. Do this. What is this? This communion, this time of gathering around the table, this time of breaking bread, this time of drinking from a cup, this, do this. Now, we know that the Passover feast that the Jews participated in was a shadow. It wasn't the reality. God made this Passover feast for the Jews to take every year together for them to remember what happened to them when God led them out of Egypt. And he said, you're to take that sacrificial lamb and you take the blood from it and you sprinkle it on the doorpost so that the death angel, when he's passing through to take over, to take the life of all firstborn, will know that you are in a covenant relationship with God and he'll pass over your home and the firstborn in your family will not lose their lives. And so every year after that, the Jews would participate in this Passover feast. And they would eat this meal and they would do these things to remember what God had done for them. Now, we know that it's a shadow because the Hebrew writer tells us the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away the sin of the world. Blood of bulls and goats can do nothing for us. It's not going to usher us into a right relationship with God. It's not going to take away sin. It's not going to do any of those things. So it was a shadow of the reality of what we were going to have one day. And so we get to today, and we get to when Christ gave himself, and he's saying, do this, and he begins talking about his body. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he said, do this. This bread is my body. And when you break that bread and you take of that bread, you are remembering the body that was sacrificed for you. You remember the choice that I made for you. You remember the things that it points out to you that you never ever want to forget. You have been purchased. This is my body. Here's the reality. Not the shadow, but the reality of what God wanted us to understand. The sacrificial lamb was his son, not a lamb. Not a bull, not a goat, not a dove, not anything else that was offered, but Jesus Christ is the reality. The only sacrifice that's truly meaningful in our life is the one that was given upon the cross for all of mankind. My body given for you. And so every time we gather around this table, when we break that bread, we're to remember, we're to think about that this body, this bread represents his body. And then he says that the blood, Christ's blood, not only his body, but his blood. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. And you think about Jeremiah in chapter 31 and what he said. The Lord was talking through Jeremiah and said, one day I'm going to usher in a new covenant. Not a covenant that I made with your fathers, but a covenant with you. And I love all the things that he says. What a powerful passage Jeremiah 31 is. And one that we can look back to and go, man, what a promise. And it's ours. And we understand it and we know it. And he said, this new covenant. He said, I'm going to write my law. It's going to be within them. And it's going to be written upon their hearts. And I'll be their God. And they're going to be my people. And they will no longer teach brother to know me, nor their neighbors to know me, because all of them, from the least to the great, will all know me. Because you see, it's our choice to enter in this relationship. We're not born into it. It's our choice. And so we know who he is. And then he says, and I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Here's the new covenant. This new covenant in his blood, because the blood was shed of the perfect sacrifice that was offered on the cross, now comes the redeeming power of the blood of Christ. And so he says, do this, break this bread, and drink this cup, every time that you do it remembering me. Do this. What? You gather around this table to remember the body, to remember the blood that was sacrificed. Do this, this communion. Do this table that we've just done together this morning. Do this as often as you do it. How often should we do it? Every first day of the week. Not on Mondays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays or Fridays or Saturdays, but on the first day of the week. Do this in remembrance, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim in your life, in all that you're about, in all that you're doing with your life, and all the thoughts that you have, and all the decisions that you make, you are proclaiming the Lord. You're proclaiming his death and his resurrection. You're proclaiming everything that we have in him every time you take of it. In remembrance, first day of the week, whoever eats this bread. You see, it's not just about what he did. He fulfilled the law's demands. We know that. We grasp that. You see, the law demanded that there was perfection that happened. And the law demanded that not only was there perfection, but there was a sacrifice to fulfill all of those law's demands, 623, that none of us could take. None of us could keep perfectly. No one did it ever before, or no one can do it after. Only Christ himself. He did all of that. He fulfilled the law's demand. He offered the one-time perfect sacrifice himself for all of us, and in doing so, he ushered in a new covenant. A new covenant that's not like the old. Not one that we go continually to the altar to offer a sacrifice day after day, month after month, year after year to do. There was one sacrifice offered for all time, for all people. What a powerful sacrifice. What a wonderful covenant, he said. And so every time that we break that bread, every time we drink that cup, we do it in remembrance of him. We do it in remembrance of everything that he accomplished there. There's nothing we can do, meritoriously speaking, to merit or to earn our salvation. And he said, I gave the perfect sacrifice. You don't have to worry about it. And so every time that we do it, every time we break the bread, every time we drink the cup, we proclaim him. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. How are we proclaiming? What were you doing when you broke that bread a moment ago and you drank that cup? Were you proclaiming his death in your life? What does that mean? If he died for us, then we're taught we die for him. In remembrance of the sacrifice that he gave us, what kind of life are we living? What do we do? How do we respond? And you see, the entire time while we're taking that, our mind is thinking, our mind is going back and looking at Christ and this sacrifice of what he's done. Well, the choices that he made, not the choice that I made, but the choice he made. Whether that was walking all those days of his life when he was a young boy in the temple and asking questions, do this in remembrance. Remembrance of all those decisions that he made, all those things that Christ was about, all the things that he accomplished on that. Do this. Remember. And this is one of those things that we have to really focus on in our minds and begin looking at, studying and reading about every week, preparing ourselves when we get here. We prepare ourselves to come and worship our God every first day of the week. It is not something that happens accidentally. I've had arguments with people numerous times that everything that we do in our life is worship. No, it's not. Worship is not an accidental thing. It's very intentional. And gathering around this table is very intentional. We do not do it accidentally. If you come without a mind focused in remembering, then we're not doing it the way he said to do it. We don't understand it. And so we do this, but we do it remembering who we are, where we were, and where we are today. And it makes a big impact in our life. Let's read the rest of this passage. 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Now listen closely. Verse 33. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. Now he's talking, you got to understand, this passage, this whole letter is talking to a church, to a group, and this is being read to the whole church. And they're all reading this letter that Paul has written to them and to understand and to grasp this. And he's saying, you're all together, you've come here, and you are to do this in remembrance of me, the Lord says. When you do this, you remember me. And you remember everything that I did. And now we start focusing on those things, what he's talking about. Examine yourself, verse 28. You must examine yourself. This is that internal thing. When I start looking at me and my life over this past week, what kind of life have I lived? What kind of relationship do I have with my Lord, with Jesus? How can I remember him if I'm not reflective of my life? What kind of relationship do I have? Is it better? Is it stronger than it was a week ago? Or have I not even thought about him this week? Do this in remembrance of me. And so I think about my relationship with him. I think about who he is, the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice, the creator of everything that exists, all that he is, all that he has done, and I think about him. He's not me. He's not a normal person, so I don't think of him that way. He's on the throne where he needs to be, and I need to understand that. But I also need to understand that this is a church. This body that he's talking about in this context, he's talking about the church. Remember me. And you cannot separate the Lord from this body. We can't do it. Because he is the head of this body, this church. We're one. And he's not trying to separate the two. We cannot separate those. And so it's a proclamation of the Lordship as well as our salvation. But when we look at this, look at verse 29. He who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. What body is he talking about? I've asked this question before. Is he talking about the body hanging on the cross? Or is he talking about the body, the church? Which one is he talking about? And so you do this. Yes. Can you do that? He's not talking about one or the other. He's talking about the totality. We can't separate the body hanging on the cross from the body that he purchased in his church. Not in this text. We can't do it. He's talking about the church that he bought, the church that he purchased with his own body hanging on the cross and the blood that he shed. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. when you break this bread, when you drink this cup every first day of the week, when you do these things, you remember me. You think about what I did, and you think about what you have gotten, what you have received because of what I've done. What does this mean to you? How do we judge the body correctly? How do we break the bread and drink the cup in a worthy manner? You see, if we don't remember Him and His sacrifice, we can't do it in a worthy manner. If we don't remember the body, and you can look around, if we don't remember the members of this church in the way that we're supposed to, then we can't take it in a worthy manner. And so introspectively, we stop and we think and we come together, whether it's with eyes closed and heads bowed or eyes open and looking up, whichever way we do it, it's your choice. But the reality is, if we are not contemplating, if we're not thinking about, if we're not remembering everything that Christ did for us, then we can't be faithful. Then we're eating and drinking judgment on myself, because I'm saying, God, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for this church you've added me to, by which I know I'm saved, but I don't like the way you did it. I'm going to change things. No, He said, do this. Don't add anything to it. Don't take away from it. Don't do it whenever you feel like doing it. Do it when I told you to do it. Do it for the reasons I've told you to do it, because I've sacrificed myself for you. You can't change that. Why would you want to change it? There's nothing you can do. So it's a celebratory thing. I reflect about my life, and I reflect about what He's done, and when it's all over with, I say, I'm in a perfect family. What a powerful thing it is to be a part of God's family. What a blessing it is to know that I have been saved, that I have salvation that's been given to me by my Savior. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus Christ gave Himself for you and for me to save us, so that we would absolutely know with all certainty when we pass from this life, we're going to be with Him in heaven. What a powerful thing it is. But I told you in verse 33, here's maybe the exclamation point when he puts on this passage. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. Here's the body. And he's picturing, Paul's picturing this beautiful, perfect picture that is been woven together. A body that loves each other. A body that is taking care of one another because of Jesus Christ. A body that's been woven together with the blood of Christ. A body that is protected because of the body that was sacrificed and hung on a cross and buried and resurrected. And so we gather around this table and we do this in remembrance of Him and everything that we do and all that we are. Isn't it great to be a child of God? This morning, as you start contemplating your life and what family you're part of, and maybe your family, physically speaking, you think, you know, I've got some rough people in my family. And maybe I don't even know if I want to be a part of that family. I don't know where your head is on that. But I can tell you this, as we start thinking about this family, what a powerful thing it is to be a part of God's family. What greater memorial could we participate in than His sacrifice? What greater hero could we have than the giver of life that gave Himself for us? So every time we hear this phrase, do this in remembrance of me, there are going to be people who are going to question you. Why do you do this? Why do you do it? I do it because Jesus Christ gave Himself for me. Gave Himself for me and added me to His body to be a part of His kingdom. He gave himself for me so that I would know that one day that he's going to come home or come back and welcome me home with him. I know where I'm going to be for all eternity. Do you know where you're going to be? If you're not a part of his body, then you don't know where you're going to be. If you are a child of God, then you have every promise and every guarantee of who you are, and more importantly, whose you are. What were you thinking about while you were breaking that bread and drinking that cup just a few moments ago? What does the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to you? Do this in remembrance of me. I want you to know where you're going to be with me forever. That's what Christ wants you to know this morning. And if you don't have that assurance in your life, why not? You don't have to reinvent anything. You don't have to offer your own sacrifice. You just have to accept it. He gave it for us. He gave it for you. And if you're ready to accept that sacrifice and to remember him, there's no better time than right now to do it. So if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, we ask you to come while we stand and sing. From the burden of sin.